Welcome. You're listening to the second season of The Baker's Notebook, a podcast about home baking. I'm Stacy, a mom of two, and I enjoy baking with my kids when I'm not teaching biochemistry lab.
And I'm Mia, a romance author and home baker. We're two longtime friends who met and bonded over the perfect apple pie. Bake along with us as we find new recipes to try. Listen as we compare notes about our successes and inevitable failures in the kitchen. Learn along with us as we become better home bakers, one delicious recipe at a time. This week, we're baking vegan, gluten-free pumpkin pie from The Minimalist Baker. Bake along with us.
Mia, can you tell us the inspiration for choosing this week's recipe?
Yeah, so this week we're baking a vegan, gluten-free pumpkin pie. And I chose it because, you know, it's almost time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And people are starting to gather again and hang out in each other's homes and have parties. And I'm so excited about this. But, you know, I have friends and I know you'll be, you know, hosting a lot of people with different dietary requirements. And one of them is we have a lot of listeners, I believe, who are gluten-free.
Okay.
And so I wanted to find a like nice celebratory dessert recipe that was gluten-free. And if it can be vegan also, I mean, if you have some vegan guests, you should be able to have a dessert that everyone can share and enjoy, even people without dietary requirements. And so the thing is, like, I haven't done a lot of gluten-free baking, and I'm familiar with some vegan recipes, but I haven't done a lot of vegan desserts. How about you?
Well, so when my daughter was younger, she was allergic to eggs.
Oh, wow.
So I had to do a lot of baking without eggs. And so that was definitely an issue in my household. And I do think that eggs and dairy are very common allergies in children, because I also have a family friend who really, really allergic to dairy, like EpiPen allergic to dairy. Yeah. So there was a lot of experimenting on that. And I had a teaching assistant who was not, he was a vegan meat eater, he would say, because he was not vegan, but he was allergic to both eggs and dairy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So when it came to baked goods, he would say, he would ask, is it vegan? Because that's
the way
often
he would be
where
safe.
He,
right?
That's often where he would see it, right? In baked goods. And so it's easier to ask, is it vegan, rather than is there eggs and dairy in it, you know? So, So I've had some experience baking with that. And often I would just sort of substitute for the eggs. Like tofu, surprisingly, is a pretty good substitute for eggs.
In baked goods?
In baked goods.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just by weight?
No, I would do like a quarter a cup of tofu for an egg.
Like silken tofu?
Yeah. Like, or actually I often would do the like firm tofu. That you yeah, it's, you know, you buy it in your market and it's the, it comes in that pack and there's water, you know, surrounding the tofu, and it would be basically a quarter of a cup per egg.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that. No.
Yeah. That's a common one. And then there's also things on the market called egg replacer, which is like a powdered substance that it's like a few tablespoons of the replacer plus like some water, and you mix it up and you use that instead of an egg. And those have worked also well. I kind of like the tofu because I feel like I'm also getting some nutrition in there, some protein in there for my kid. You just have to make sure they also don't have a soy allergy if you're doing that. Yeah. So, and that
I've
is
seen,
one thing.
What is it? Flaxseed is a replacer. Yeah.
So that's one thing that I do think that if you are replacing a traditional ingredient, so often, you know, often there's eggs in cake, but there isn't tofu in cake, right? So if you're doing that replacement, you should tell people, because you don't know if I can eat eggs, but I can't eat soy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You wouldn't expect there to be soy in your pumpkin pie.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So then I do think it's important to let people know of the changes that you made in case there's allergies.
And I think like for this kind of stuff where you have to be careful and like be aware of your guests' like food sensitivities, it's part of being a welcoming host, right?
Absolutely.
You don't want to make a big deal of it. You don't want to make it like a big
exactly.
like thing, but you want to make them feel welcome and thought of, and like, you don't have to worry that I, you know, I have this dessert for everybody else, but not for you. So we want to include as many people as possible. And I think that's, you know, it's part of being a good host and part of like getting ready for the holidays. Cause I know that you, especially pre-COVID times, like you used to host a lot of people and I used to like cook all the time for people. Right. And it's like part of the way that I feel that like my household like is healing and kind of like growing through this is like being able to see our friends again.
Right.
So it's one of the reasons I chose this. And being able to
share, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to share. I think that that's just so fun and exciting. And like you said, healing. So I love that you chose this. I love that you chose something that really encompassed so many people.
It, on another note, we were talking about this before we started recording, is that we had a little bit of trouble with this crust.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the crust. I mean, now, I think I've mentioned this before. I don't eat pie crust.
Yes, this is a hot topic for a podcast.
I just don't think it's worth the calories. I'm sorry. But I'm still very picky about my pie crust. Now, there is one kind of pie crust that I do like, and that is like a cookie crust, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the Oreo cookie crust, like on, or like the graham cracker crust, mm-hmm. you know, that you often get on like cheesecakes. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for those crusts. Those crusts I like.
But regular pie crust rolled out. No.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of, but
I love the irony of this because you were the one who taught me how to make pie crust.
I know, because people like it. People like it. So people like it, I make it. And like my kids love pie crust. My husband mm-hmm. loves pie crust. I mean, mm-hmm. that's like their favorite thing with like a chicken pot pie, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because mm-hmm. if not, it's basically a chowder, right? It's like, mm-hmm. no, this is beautiful. I love the crust, right? So my family all loves crust. Mm-hmm. I just sit there and eat the middle.
Let's talk about this particular crust and why you were not a fan, particularly of this crust.
This one, even my family was not a fan of it.
Oh, no.
So, and that's because it was, I'm sorry, but it was hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just me. It came out hard. Now, I did do a substitution, so I don't know if maybe that's why. She recommended one for one. I used measure for measure.
So these are two different brands of gluten-free flour. So Bob's Red Mill 1-to-1 versus, is it King Arthur?
King Arthur measure for measure. And I've used measure for measure and other ingredients instead of flour, and it was fine.
Do you have the ingredients for measure to measure up? Because I can talk about the ones for Bob's Red Mill, which is what I use.
Great. I do. So, it starts with rice flours, both just as rice flour and whole grain brown rice flour. That's how mine starts with. And then there's sorghum flour, mm-hmm. tapioca starch, potato starch, and then cellulose, xanthan gum, and vitamin and minerals.
Okay. Here's what I've got. So yours is more like, what is that? Enriched?
I would say rice flours is more what it is.
Okay. So I've got here for Bob's, it's white rice flour, mm-hmm. Whole grain brown rice flour, potato mm-hmm. starch, whole grain sorghum flour, tapioca flour, and xanthan gum. And that's it.
So it sounds like almost the same thing, except for I have cellulose instead of one of your things that you had.
Potato starch, maybe?
No, I have potato starch, but you had I have tapioca. I have cellulose instead of probably one of your other.
No, I think that yours just has cellulose and some other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're basically the same thing.
Yeah. So they're basically the same thing. It sounds like it's mainly rice. Flour mm-hmm. And potato and tapioca. Anyways, I don't know if part of it is that there's usually a little bit of sugar in my pie crusts.
Mm-hmm.
And sugar, like actually with sugar, you get like hydration, a little bit more hydration with it. So I don't know. It was hard. I also use shortening. And so I thought maybe that's why, but because I've done all butter crusts, I've done all shortening crusts, and I've done combination crusts. And I'm a big fan of the combination, a little bit of mm-hmm. both, a little bit of sugar, shortening and butter. Mm-hmm. But I do think shortening gives you that nice flakiness that you get, and butter gives you that nice flavor. So that's why I like the combination. Mm-hmm. But so I thought, okay, I'm just going to use shortening because it is vegan. What did you use? Did you go and buy like vegan, like Earth Balance or?
I did. I bought Earth Balance unsalted butter sticks.
Yeah.
Because they, on the label, it said good for baking. So I yes. thought I would try that out.
And mm-hmm. they are good for baking. That's often mm-hmm. what I use. I just didn't have any on hand and I had shortening on hand.
Mm-hmm. So just like it, Crisco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it as the sticks and it was yeah, in the same. Fridge, so it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, we both had hard results and we used different ingredients. So I don't think it was the fault necessarily of the
ingredients.
I think there's a ratio issue here that might be going on.
Dryness and there were no like you said, when you add sugar, I imagine that that behaves as a liquid and might create more texture, like more pockets
in
the crust itself.
I think it helps with that. So maybe if we added some sugar, but personally, mm-hmm. this is also my bias, I would have gone with like a cookie crust. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know we want to keep it gluten-free and vegan. Well, you have your Earth Balance, right? Which you can melt and it's just like butter. And like places like Trader Joe's, and you can even get it from like Amazon, sell gluten-free cookies and graham crackers.
Right.
So like I'm kind of a fan of the JoJo's at Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And those are like Oreos, but they have them seasonal. And mm-hmm. so not only do they have the chocolate that is just like Oreos, they have a vanilla version. And during this time of year, if you can get your hands on it, because things sell out fast there at Trader Joe's, the pumpkin things, they even have a pumpkin JoJo's.
That sounds so yummy.
That would be fun. And
are they vegan?
I'm pretty sure they're also vegan. I can
because they have a filling, right?
Yeah, but Oreos are vegan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
it's
amazing.
Shortening. It's shortening. There's great. There's no dairy or eggs in because again, my friends with allergies could eat these.
Awesome. that's really good to know though. I mean, that's awesome to know.
Yeah. So
I think a cookie crust would be a wonderful addition to this because it would add a little bit more flavor and a little bit more texture. Like this looks like a great pie crust. I had a good time like rolling it out and shaping it, but once it baked up, it was so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just looked it up. JoJo's are vegan, including the seasonal flavors of pumpkin Ta-da! And candy cane. So that's
They're gluten-free?
They have gluten-free versions.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you have to look for the box that says gluten-free.
Okay.
So they have the regular and they have the gluten-free versions.
So I don't have an exact recipe for the cookie crust, but the idea would be to like blitz some of those cookies in the food uh-huh. processor. Add in some of the melted vegan butter mm-hmm. and maybe a little sugar and then press it into the pan.
Oh, and ginger snaps. Wouldn't that be yummy? If you could find vegan gluten-free ginger snaps.
I did that for the mini cheesecakes and it was so delicious. It was so good.
Yeah. That would be yummy. And that would really complement this pumpkin filling.
For sure. So our first recommendation for this recipe is let's ignore the crust.
Yeah, let's change it.
That's
which and is I fine. Feel, I don't think yeah. there's anything wrong with doing that.
I just, you know, making pie crust is, you know, you got to commit to it. It takes some work. And for the amount of work to make this particular pie crust, like the results are not that great. So if you can get a better result, even with less work, like let's go with that.
And these ingredients aren't cheap.
The one-to-one is not cheap.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of buying that one-to-one, buy a box of gluten-free vegan cookies.
And you can eat the extras.
And you can have the extra. So moving on from the crust, how about this filling?
So this filling is great. Usually pumpkin pie filling has a lot of eggs in it.
Yes, it usually has eggs and milk, right?
Right. And so this particular filling is the pumpkin puree. Mm-hmm. This person asked for 1.5 ounce can, 15 ounce cans, maple syrup, brown sugar, almond milk. And for the oil or fat, it's just a tablespoon of olive or coconut oil. Mm-hmm. There's some other ingredients too, but I mean, there's no dairy, there's no eggs mm-hmm. in this. And I used the pumpkin puree from Trader Joe's again. We're big Trader Joe's fans, both of us, I think.
I think we are.
Trader Joe's, if you're looking to sponsor any podcast, we're here. The pumpkin puree that they sell at Trader Joe's this year, I don't know if it's always like this, is not like the pumpkin pack puree from Libby's that I see in the supermarkets usually. Right. It's a lot looser.
Yeah, you're right.
A richer color. And so I used this and it was fantastic. My family loved this.
Yeah. No, it's I'm a big fan of the Trader Joe's canned pumpkin. However, I didn't have that on hand this time. What I did have on hand was a Smart and Final. So totally Smart and Final brand even. So this is a pretty cheap can of pumpkin. And it was actually the large can. So it's a 29-ounce can. And because she says you need like basically like 22 and a half ounces, because she said it's 1.5 cans of the 15 ounces, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, I have this 29-ounce can sitting in my cupboard and it hadn't expired yet. And I'm like, I'm going to use this. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot firmer, like you said, than the Trader Joe's one. But I measured out, I actually measured out the amount that she said, which I think was, 2.5 cups or something like that?
Two and three quarters
cup of puree. And I looked in the can and there was like barely anything left.
Oh, okay.
So I was just like, well, and I just put the rest in.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I think like maybe 2 tablespoons left. So I was just kind of like, what am I going to do with it? I mean, I guess I could have put it in a smoothie or something, but. And I just hate the idea of wasting food, even if it's just a little bit. So I used the whole large can and it turned out fine. So I think you can get away with a
2 15-ounce cans.
Well, I think you get away with 1 29-ounce can.
Okay.
It's 1 ounce less.
Yeah. You won't have leftover filling.
It's cheaper to buy it that way.
Yeah.
Usually.
Sure. Sure.
So, one of the sweeteners in here is maple syrup instead of traditional sugar, although there is brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the milk, it's almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use almond milk or did you use another non-dairy milk?
No, almond milk and sweetened plain.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I like it.
I was reading though, if people don't have, see, so then the question is, what if you also have a nut allergy?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling it would also work with like other non-dairy milk, right? Like, so they have,
coconut.
Yeah. I was reading though, that sometimes coconut milk could give you a flavor, right? Mm-hmm. Adds a little bit of flavor. In the market, there's like, you know, there's always Silk, the soy milk. There's also, I think it's called like Ripple, which is like it's made with pea protein, like peas and carrots, pea protein. And that milk is one of my favorite, if I have to drink a non-dairy milk, one of my favorite ones to drink is milk.
Oh, I've never tried it.
Yeah, it's actually, to me, I think one of the better non-milk alternatives.
I've seen oat milk as well.
Oat milk is really nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to think of things because, you know, again, we're trying to be as inclusive of we can as of potential guests. And I know that nut allergies is another common allergy that we run into. So I think any non-dairy milk could probably work there. And it's just a third of a cup of it. I mean, really, this is predominantly pumpkin puree.
Mm-hmm.
And I baked it up. Did you use cornstarch or arrowroot powder?
I only have cornstarch.
Yeah, me too. But it did say cornstarch or arrowroot powder. And I was like, I'm betting Mia is using cornstarch too because we have that in our cupboards. And hers cracks. She even has a crack in the picture.
I didn't see that.
She does. She has.
I like that.
I think she says, in her thing, what I love is you blend it in a blender, right?
So easy.
So easy. You just dump all the ingredients in a blender, blend it, put it into your pie crust, which we recommend a cookie crust, and then bake it. And it says
Oh, the pictures are cracked.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, it says pour
yeah.
the filling into the pie crust and bake for 58 to 65 minutes. Mine took 60.
Mine didn't take very long. It didn't take it. It was like, honestly, it was about 55 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you would start looking at it maybe around 50.
Yeah, I would, just depending on your oven.
And it says the crust should be light golden brown, although if you're using cookie crust, ignore that. And the filling will still be just a bit jiggly and have some cracks on the top.
Okay, and yours had cracks.
Mine had cracks, which I normally get very upset about, but she says it's going to have cracks.
So you're okay with it.
So I was kind of like, well, it's part of the recipe.
Well, here's the thing. Mine did not have cracks, and it's the first time I've made a pumpkin pie that didn't crack. And I was like, wow.
I have a pumpkin pie recipe where it says it's gonna crack.
The first time that I'm like, well, it's not doing what the recipe says, but that's great. No, it was like this perfect finish. It was like a.
The first time you used the Trader Joe's pumpkin puree to make a pumpkin
Yeah,
pie?
it is. I've never used it before. I usually use something that you have to scoop, like scoop
Yeah,
out, you know?
this one it kind of like
It pours a
pours out
little.
of the can. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's not just this year, because I buy it all the time, the Trader Joe's canned one, and it's like that.
It's gorgeous. I'm gonna only use it now for
It's a
pies.
pretty color too.
It is,
It's a
yeah.
pretty color.
Highly recommend that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it didn't crack. It was great.
So maybe if you use a more a softer pumpkin puree, it doesn't
Right.
crack.
But how would you know? They're all in a can, you know?
I'll just get the Trader Joe's one.
Or you could, you know, make an afternoon of it and make it yourself. But I've only done that once or twice, I think.
I've
I
never
did
done
it,
it.
yeah, I've roasted a pumpkin once to make a pie, and then I roasted a butternut squash once to make a pie, which was super tasty.
Wow, I've never done that. I've roasted sweet potatoes to make a pie.
Oh yeah. That's,
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same idea. But I
Yeah.
mean, if you wanted more control over the puree, you could do that. But like,
Yeah.
unless you're buying the Trader Joe's, like, I wouldn't know who made any pumpkin
No, you're
filling.
right. You're right. That honestly, and that's the only brand where it's been, I want to say there might be Whole Foods ones. The Whole Foods organic one might also be similar. But I can't remember for sure. But
I, you
anyways.
know, it was a very good pie experience for me, except that that crust wasn't tasty. And the thing is, like, my family loved the inside part, and I think that's, I'm going to keep that recipe for filling and just make that
Totally.
with my regular crust, since I don't have any gluten-free people in my family, but and I'm
Yeah.
not baking for people this year for who have that allergy or that sensitivity. So the filling is fantastic. And you can save your eggs for an omelet the next day.
Mia, before we go, I want to make one small correction. I was wrong about the gluten-free JoJo's.
No.
I've been looking it up, and it ends up that for some reason in the gluten-free version of the Trader Joe's JoJo's, there is egg white powder. And so they are dairy-free, but not egg-free, the gluten-free ones. The regular JoJo's are vegan. So
Okay,
depending on what the dietary restrictions are, there you go.
so make sure that you read those ingredients labels when you make this cookie crust. Stacy, what are we baking next week?
Oh, I'm really excited because one of my favorite side dishes we're doing balsamic roasted Brussels sprouts by Ina Garten, Barefoot Contessa of the Food Network.
Yum. And you know, all of these recipes that we're doing are all in preparation for the holiday season.
Yay.
So get ready for some more holiday baking, everybody. Thanks for baking along with us this week. For links to the recipes and other notes, please check out our website, www.thebakersnotebook.com, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Baker's Notebook. You can leave us a voice message on our website if you'd like to be featured on the show. If you bake any of these recipes, please make sure to tag us on social media. We'd love to see what you create. Until next time, happy baking!